Rob, thank you very much. Well, please do keep the service sheets open on that page. We're going to be looking at that passage in a little more detail in a moment. A young boy was watching his father, who was a vicar, write his Christmas Day sermon. Dad, he asked, how do you know what to say? And the father somewhat piously said, oh, God tells me what to write. To which the boy replied, if that's the case, Dad, why do you keep crossing things out? But we do want to hear from God this Christmas time, which is why we're going to spend a few minutes looking quite carefully at the second of those readings we've had from Matthew's Gospel. It's been the conviction of Christians down the centuries that the Bible contains not just the words of human authors, like the Apostle Matthew, but that through the work of the Holy Spirit in those authors, it is also the Word of God. It is a familiar passage to many of us, I said most of us, but I'm going to lead us now in prayer, asking God to speak afresh to us through His Word. And so, Father, as we do come to look at this section of Matthew's Gospel, familiar to many of us, we do pray that you will show us wonderful things out of your word to encourage and instruct us, to challenge us, so that we may know and serve Jesus more faithfully. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew begins his gospel by emphasizing Jesus's Jewish credentials. Jesus is very much a Jewish Messiah. He's a descendant of both Abraham and David. But then he goes on to tell us how Jesus was conceived not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. And how Jesus, when he was born, was given two names. One name to explain who he is, and another name to explain what he'd come to do. The name he was given to explain who he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is the grand miracle. This is why we should not be surprised that extraordinary, supernatural, stupendous events surround the birth of this child, because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The Almighty Creator God humbled himself to take on human nature. He became a fetus in Mary's womb. He was born like any other child. He was both fully human and fully God. But the other name that Jesus was given was, of course, the name Jesus. Joseph was told, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And this is why Jesus came to earth. This is the great need of humanity. Each one of us has failed miserably to love God as we should, or to love other people as we should. And unless our sins can be forgiven, we cannot be friends with God. There can be no heaven, only hell. But God became a man to save us from our sins. Now, as we come to chapter 2, and the visit of the Magi, we have to work really hard to cut through all the sentimental fluff that has attached itself to this account. So go to any nativity and you will see three kings, very smartly dressed with crowns on their head, presenting their gifts to Joseph and Mary with a newborn baby Jesus lying in the manger. But these Magi weren't kings. They were Middle Eastern astrologers from somewhere like modern-day Iraq, most probably. We're not told how many of them there were. We only know that they presented three gifts. They didn't visit Jesus in a stable, but in a house. We're explicitly told that. You notice that in verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And by this stage, Jesus is much more likely to have been a toddler rather than a baby, which is why later on we are told that Herod ordered the slaughter of all baby boys in the vicinity of Bethlehem, aged 2 and under. Instead, what I want us to do is to concentrate on Matthew's focus. So we're going to think about the kingship of Jesus, and then we're going to consider the contrasting responses to Jesus. The Magi, who were thrilled with Jesus, while Herod was threatened by Jesus. And then finally, we will reflect on our own responses to Jesus this Christmas time. So first, the kingship of Jesus. See there in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Now this is unique, because who is made a king from birth? Prince William, when he was born back in 1982, was born as heir to the throne, but he wasn't born as king. He'll have to outlive both his grandmother and his father before he ascends to the throne. But Jesus was appointed king of the Jews by God from birth. Jesus is the fulfillment of that great promise made through Isaiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." But there is another time in Matthew's gospel where Jesus is publicly declared to be king of the Jews. It is as he's being crucified. So Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replies, "You have said so." And then Matthew tells us that above his head they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the king of the Jews." You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And it was while Jesus was hanging on the cross that as King of the Jews, he was saving his people from their sins. But Jesus is so much more than simply King of the Jews. Have a look with me at verses 5 and 6, where the chief priests and the teachers of the law quote from the Old Testament prophet Micah. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Now that is a quote from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. God promises to send his people a ruler who will come out of Bethlehem. And this ruler, as the kings of Israel were thought of, would shepherd his people. But actually, if you look at Micah 5:4, you see that Micah says more than just the bit that the chief priests and the teachers of the law quote. Micah goes on to state that the greatness of this ruler will reach to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is not just for the Jews. God's plan has always been to bless the nations, not just Israel. And that is why in Matthew's gospel, the first people to worship Jesus are not Jews, but these Magi, pagan astrologers. Jesus is not just king of the Jews, he is king of the world. Now maybe you are here this morning and you're not from a Christian country, or you follow a different religion, or no religion at all. Well, first of all, can I say thanks for coming? It's great to have you with us here on Christmas Day. But the other thing I want to say is, please don't think that Jesus is not for you. See, from these verses, we see that he is. Jesus is for all people and all nations. He's not just for those with a Christian heritage. The wise men somehow knew that, and they were thrilled with Jesus. And so we move on now to think about the contrasting responses. And the first, we'll consider the Magi, who were thrilled. Now, we don't know how the Magi learnt about Jesus, nor exactly how much they knew about him, nor do we know too much about the star. People have speculated, but Matthew, even if he does know, isn't interested in telling us those details. No, his focus is on their desire to seek out Jesus and worship him. You see that in verse 2. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And then in verse 11, we read that when they do eventually reach Jesus, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. So these Magi don't worship Herod, but they do worship Jesus. And that was such a joy for them. Verse 10 literally says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You see, they rejoiced not simply because they had seen the star, but because the star would lead them to the place where they wanted to be. Humbly, joyfully, worshipping Jesus. Now, I wonder how this Christmas finds you. Is life good and straightforward? Or are your circumstances, at least some of them, really hard and difficult? So that can have, wherever you look, there seems to be complications. So maybe difficulties over your work, or worries concerning money, or concerns over health, or over family members. We can go on, the list goes on and on. I suspect for the vast majority of us, it's the latter. Life is rarely easy and straightforward. And our point is, if we seek to find joy and satisfaction in our circumstances, our joy will inevitably always be transient and fleeting and quickly disappear. But lasting joy is found in a relationship with Jesus. As the carol states, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Which is why the Bible, the New Testament, keeps on encouraging us, actually commanding us, to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in him, to rejoice in Jesus, to find in him our deepest satisfaction, our deepest lasting joy. And notice that there was nothing superficial or sentimental about these Magi's worship of Jesus and the joy that they found in him. Just think about it. It cost them a long and dangerous journey. It cost them time. It cost them safety and security. It cost them money. But Jesus was worth it. And they were not disappointed. And friends, that is why we have gathered here this morning, because Jesus is worth it. He is worthy of our time. He is worthy of our security, of our money, our reputation, our energy, our devotion. And as we engage with the real Jesus and worship him, we too can know something of these Magi's exceedingly great joy. But of course, that's not the only response we see to Jesus. For while the wise men were thrilled with Jesus, King Herod is threatened by Jesus. Now, Herod the Great, as history knows him, was the Roman-appointed king of Judea from about 37 BC until his death shortly after Jesus was born. He was given the title King of the Jews by the Roman Senate. So when the Magi turn up in Jerusalem asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Well, his nose was severely put out of joint. What, another King of the Jews? I am the king. Herod is threatened by Jesus. Now we know from contemporary writers like Josephus that Herod was paranoid. His insecurity and paranoia led him to killing his wife and three of his own sons. He also apparently changed his will 6 times in the last couple of years of his life, depending on who was in favor and who was out. A guy called Macrobius, commenting on that, wrote, when Augustus heard that Herod, king of the Jews, had ordered all the boys in Syria under the age of 2 to be put to death, and that the king's son was among those killed, he said, I'd rather be Herod's pig than Herod's son. Just in passing, here is another reminder, if we needed it, that actually when we come to the New Testament, we are dealing with the realm of facts and history rather than made-up stories. These events that we're reading about in Matthew's Gospel are, there is independent corroboration with other sources. Anyway, we read in verse 3 that when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. I see the residents of Jerusalem were right to be troubled, because they knew what Herod was like. And sure enough, as Matthew will go on to tell us, Herod eventually orders the slaughter of all baby boys aged 2 and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem in an attempt to get rid of Jesus. Because Herod is threatened by Jesus. He wants Jesus dead because he realizes they both can't be king. You can't have 2 kings. It can only be the one. And the same attitude exists today. There are a number of people who feel threatened by Jesus. I imagine there will be some of us here who feel threatened by Jesus. Because you realize that as God's king, Jesus makes claims on your life. Jesus challenges our right, any right to self-determination. He can often be inconvenient. And sometimes we just don't want that. And so as Matthew presents us with these two responses, the response of the Magi who are thrilled by Jesus and the response of the Herod who is threatened by Jesus, God is posing a question to each of us. Which response best reflects your heart towards Jesus this Christmas? Are you thrilled with him, or do you feel threatened by him? Now, as we have gathered here on Christmas morning, I trust that a good number of us are thrilled with Jesus and all that he stands for. You're here this morning not because you've been dragged along or you think that you should come, but because you really want to be here. You want to celebrate with other believers the wonder of Jesus' birth. You know that you need saving from your sin. You know that your life is not what it should be. And you rejoice that Jesus entered the world so that you may be saved from your sin. That there may be a power to help you battle the evil that you know that exists inside you. Your life may be a mess and things may be hard, but Jesus is your hope. And he is worthy of your devotion. But the thing that has struck me this year is the thought that Herod would have considered himself to be a religious man. He wasn't an atheist. You see, Herod oversaw the rebuilding of the temple for the worship of God. He knew all about the Christ. and where to find the answers to his questions. But Herod's knowledge of God didn't lead him to worship Jesus. Instead, actually, the existence of King Jesus just exposed Herod's ugly, self-centered desire for self-rule. So Herod is a warning to us. He's a reminder to us that it's not enough to know our Bibles. It's not enough to identify ourselves as a Christian and attend church at Christmas and Easter. No, we need to be those who surrender to Jesus the King. Actually, worshipping Jesus is something we need to choose to do every day. Not just some days. Every day, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. It's not something that we can do once or twice a year and then forget about it. Jesus was born as King. Not just King of the Jews, but King of the whole world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to save us from ourselves, from our sin. And as such, he deserves our joyful, costly worship. Not just today, but every day. Let's pray. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, may we be those who worship Jesus, who see clearly who he is, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, that he is the one, Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. You have made Christ King, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world. And we thank you that through him, we can be reconciled to you and have this glorious hope. Thank you that in him is lasting joy and treasure. And please help each of us here this morning to find in Christ that joy which only he can give. Amen.